Welcome to the First Baptist Barberville Weekly Sermon Podcast. At FBC Barberville, our mission is to gather, grow, give, and go. Join us for live worship on the Court Square in Barberville, Kentucky, or to learn more about our church, visit fbcbarberville.com. Here is Pastor Tyler Shields.
It's my fault. Beautiful singing this morning, and love that last song, Hymn of Heaven. My goodness, just get you in the mood for Christ to come back. I tried to get Richard to dance around with this snake this morning during worship. He just wouldn't do it. I don't know why, but maybe next time. I've reflected this week. As you see, we're talking about a prayer for the church out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 this morning, and I've done a lot of reflection this week, just thinking about our church and how thankful I am for our church. And I'll talk more about that. But we, especially above the many things we do, we have a praying church. We do. We have a lot of prayer warriors in this church. And we take prayer very seriously here at FBC, because everything that we do has to be supported by prayer. And you can't really see them right now, but just an example to our guests, we've got a board on this side behind the palm tree, and we got another board over here. And what those are for is, this one over here is for people we're praying for, specifically lost people that we as a church are praying for. Their name is actually hanging there on that board, and we pray for them consistently that God would save them. And this board over here is we're in the process of sharing the gospel with them and witnessing to them and continuing to pray. And it's hard to see, I know, but there's another one back here of people who have made it to the top and they've gotten saved. But it all begins with prayer, and I'm so thankful for a praying church. We have a prayer team, a group of people in our church whose role really within the church is to pray for everything that we do, all of our ministries, all the activities that go on, to pray for you, to pray for the community. They focus every single day on prayer. Matter of fact, you may not know this, right now as I speak, we have people, there's a prayer room back here. Every service, there's somebody in that prayer room praying for you, praying for our service, praying for me. And again, I'm just so thankful for a praying church. Now, I want to turn, if you would, this morning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And this is one of those moments in Scripture where Paul is writing to the church in Thessalonica. And I think we get a glimpse into Paul's prayer life. I think the Apostle Paul was a man of prayer. He talks about praying. And here he shares some specific things that he was praying for this church in Thessalonica. And pick up in verse 9. And this is what Paul says. He says, "How can we thank God for you in return for all the joy we experience before our God because of you, as we pray very earnestly night and day to see you face to face and to complete what is lacking in your faith? Now may our God and Father Himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord cause you to increase and overflow with love for one another and for everyone, just as we do for you." And verse 13 says, "May He make your hearts blameless and in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all His saints. Amen." So to give you a little background on Thessalonica, that's hard to say, right? Thessalonica was a pretty significant city in Paul's day in the New Testament, first century, that was founded in 316 B.C., some 300 years before Jesus came on this earth. It was named for a sister of Alexander the Great and was a very busy, very important city that was mixed with Greeks, with Romans, and even quite a few Jewish people. It was just a conglomerate in that day and time. Paul looked at this city and he thought, this is a strategic place where I need to plant a church. Not only because it was a very mixed up place, but because it lied along this major highway that linked Rome with all of that region north of the Aegean Sea. And so Paul and Silas and Timothy began in Thessalonica, as they normally did, preaching in the synagogue to the Jewish people. That is, until essentially they got ran out. And they began to see more Gentile converts than they did Jewish converts. And to give you a long story short, you can read about this in the book of Acts, Paul has to leave the city prematurely, again, running for his life as he tended to do, and he continues on with his missionary journey. That is, until one day he's sitting there and he gets a message from none other than Timothy about what's going on in Thessalonica. And Timothy tells Paul just how well this church that they had planted was actually doing. So Paul sits down and begins to write this particular letter to this church, giving them words of encouragement, sharing thanksgivings. And throughout the book, if you'll notice, and you're reading this week, the major theme of this book is that Christ is coming back very, very soon. And so as we get about halfway through this letter, Paul shares a personal prayer for this church. And one that's very specific to the church in Thessalonica. But I want us to look at this, because we read these parts of Scripture, right? And we're like, I'm just going to skip over this part because it don't really apply to me. Paul's praying for this church somewhere over there. Well, I think when we look at this prayer, I think that it should make our attitude, maybe even our prayer life, reflect what Paul is saying here in this passage of Scripture. Four major prayer points for the church this morning. The first one's this: I'm very thankful for my church. I'm very thankful. How many are thankful for our church? Okay, good. I was really praying that that would get a good response this week. I am too. I'm tremendously thankful for FBC Barberville. You may not realize this, but I look back at just the impact that this church has had on my life personally. You know, I started attending this church when I was a teenager, and honestly, I grew more from the time I was probably 15 to 18 at this church than I ever had in my entire life. I am so thankful. This church set me on course to become a pastor and go into vocational ministry. So I'm thankful for the impact it's had in my life. I'm thankful for our rich missional history that we've had since 1804. You realize this year we're going to celebrate here in actually a couple weeks. We're going to have a celebration for 220 years of being a church here in Knox County. Isn't that incredible? 220 years of sending missionaries and raising up pastors and making disciples and all these wonderful things. I'm so thankful not only for our rich history in that regard, but I'm thankful for our current involvement and investment in missions around the world. I'm thankful for the joy that I experience when I come to church and when I interact throughout the week with our church members and get to be involved in the ministries of our church. And I'm thankful for our wonderful church family. We've got a powerhouse of solid families and church members here at FBC Barberville. Paul had probably been wondering about the church in Thessalonica. I'm sure that he had worries since he had to leave and gotten kicked out of town. I would imagine that he was worried about this young church, about these young believers, about their spiritual health and growth. I'm sure that he was worried about the church's ability to cope and to deal with the many influences and distractions there in Thessalonica. But then he gets this encouraging news from Timothy that he says it just overwhelms him with joy for this church. And he says, how can we even thank God enough in return for all the joy that we have because of you? Now, how many people have found the perfect church? Okay. You're very honest. There is no perfect church, right? Even our church, as wonderful as it is not a perfect church, because there are no perfect people. And churches are essentially the people that make them up. And so every church is going to be slightly or majorly imperfect. And the problem with that is far too many people they waste a lot of precious time trying to find the perfect church with the perfect pastor and the perfect church members when it really doesn't exist. And so the thing that we have to do in light of that is to always keep in mind the many good things about our church and the many good things that God is doing and has done through our church, and begin with an attitude of thankfulness and gratitude for our church. When we pray for our church, we need to be sure that we take time to reflect and thank God for. So this week, I told you, I've been doing a lot of reflection, and I'm thankful. again for the people in our church. I'm thankful for the wonderful staff that I get to work with every single day during the week. I'm thankful for my brother Shane, my right-hand man. I'm thankful for our wonderful deacons who care so much about our church and about our families and the people. I'm thankful for, you know, there's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes all the time that keeps things going, and usually that's because we have these wonderful committee members who take time out of their busy schedules to make things happen. I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful for, wow, our incredible choir and our musicians and our singers. I mean, we have so much talent in our church, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for our Sunday school teachers. We have, hands down, some of the best Sunday school teachers in the country. I'm thankful especially this week for our Bible school workers and helpers and our bus drivers. And I'm even thankful for other churches that are loaning us buses to make this thing possible this week. I'm thankful for, again, those prayer warriors. And I'm thankful for our trustees who make sure that our buildings and grounds are just the way that it's supposed to be. So many things to be thankful for. And I'm thankful for all the people that just come every week and worship and come to Sunday school and be part of FBC. I was thinking about I just wanted to look back at the last like 3 years at our church and just reflect and be reminded on what God has done in even a short amount of time. Do you realize that in the past 3 years, our church has baptized 82 people in the past 3 years? And yeah, thank God. We've also added 60 new members in addition to the 82 baptisms. If I got my math right, we've had 359 people participate in some sort of mission project, whether it be an international mission trip, a local mission project, or something missional. We've had 359 people actually put boots on the ground to do missions in the past 3 years. And this is one kind of blew me away. Not only do we do the work, but we put our money where our mouth is. And if I did my math right, our church has given, in addition to going, we have given $791,788 towards missions in some way just in the past 3 years. So again, we're not a perfect church, and you're not going to find one perfect. But I think our church is pretty doggone good. And I think that we should be thankful for our church here at FBC Barberville and all the things that God's doing. So we thank God for our church. That's where it starts. But then from Thanksgiving, we began to make some requests, right? And so the second thing that we learned from Paul in praying for the church is I pray to be more involved in my church. How do you begin to pray for your church? Well, you begin by praying that God would use you in your church. You begin by praying that God would help you be present and active in your church. That, you see, Paul has been separated from the church in Thessalonica. It holds a dear place in his heart, but he's had to be away. And notice what he says. He prays, he says, earnestly, night and day, to see them face to face. You realize, since probably 2020, around that time, that phrase face-to-face has taken on a brand new meaning for us, right? It means so much more in the post-COVID world than it used to. And we take that face-to-face interaction for granted. Paul says, I want to see y'all face-to-face. And he prays specifically that God would direct his path back to that church so he could worship with them face-to-face. Now, I kind of think when we begin praying for our church, a lot of times our prayers are more like this: Lord, I wish you'd help that little pastor be a better pastor. Lord, I wish you'd help them old deacons be better deacons. And I wish you'd help our church members be better church members. You'd help them people be more faithful. But what if instead of that, as we prayed for our church, what if our prayers were more like, Lord, first of all, I want to thank you for my church. God, we try so hard to be so faithful with everything that you've entrusted to us. And I'm so thankful for the fellowship we have. I'm thankful for the impact we have. And Lord, first of all, help me be a better church member. Lord, help me be more present. Help me be more active. Help me be more supportive because, Lord, I see the work that you're doing in and through my church. You know, we should want to be present at church. That should be the natural tendency for us. That should be our priority. And again, I love that Paul says, I pray to see the church face to face, because correspondence was okay. Having a messenger come back and forth was okay. But even today, I'm thankful you all are out there watching Facebook Live and YouTube and even podcasts. It's all okay. But there is no substitute for being present face to face with your church family. Somehow, somewhere along the way, culturally, we have gotten out of being bothered by missing church. Now it's normal for us to miss church. It's more common for us to attend church once or twice a month, or maybe even a few times a year. Listen, that should not be the case. It should trouble us when we have to miss church and miss gathering with God's people to worship together. This is the place where we come together, and it honestly helps our spiritual health. I mean, this is the time we come together. I don't know about you, but I've experienced joy here this morning, singing and worshiping with you all. This is the place where you come and you find a purpose through the ministries of the church and the plan that God has for your life. And you're not going to find a substitute for that outside of the church. And then on the other side, I mean, honestly, the church has to have its people in order to be a church. You realize if you all don't come to church, if we just stop this, this building is nothing more than a building. The building is not the church. This is just a piece of real estate without the people. And so the people have to come and be part of the church. So we need to begin praying that I would be more involved in my church. And I'll add this, if you've been praying about that, if you've been wondering, how can I be more involved? You need to go back to the Welcome Center and talk to our Next Steps team, because they can guide you through that process and help you see exactly where it is that you can serve and find a place here at FBC. Thirdly, I pray for my church to grow in love. Now that's a common theme throughout the New Testament, right? Being a loving person, being a loving church. Paul doesn't just pray for the church to grow in number, as important as that is, but he prays that the Lord would cause them, as the Bible says, to increase and overflow with love for one another and also for everybody else. Now, why is that? Why not just pray for the church to grow? Why not just pray for them to be able to plant more churches or to have more people or to even have more baptisms? Well, I think it's because if the church gets this one thing right, if we can love one another and we can love people, that is just a symptom of us getting things 100% correct. And all these other things will fall in line. You see, the church, of all the institutions in this world, the church has to be the institution that loves people. And if the church can't love people or won't love people, folks, there's not a lot of hope for the rest of the world. We may not always see eye to eye. There's some days I don't even like some of you. And you don't like me either. And I'm saying that with so much love in my heart. But we're going to disagree. We are. There's going to be things that comes up that we read the same scripture, we stand on the same principles, but we just have different opinions. But at the end of the day, we got to love one another. There's some of us that vote differently when we go to the ballot box. But you know what? We got to love each other. In John chapter 13, Jesus makes a remarkable statement. He says, "By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples, that you love one another." Not that you're doing this or you're doing that or you're getting all these programs right or you got all these ministries correct, but you actually love one another. If we're loving one another, church, that means that we don't really have room to be hateful or spiteful to one another. We really can't just be discouraging or demeaning of one another, but truly love one another and care for one another. If you love one another, I think what Jesus is saying is that a world that so desperately longs to be loved, we'll see that, and you will get to share the very love of God with them. Jesus loved his disciples. But you know what? Jesus also loved lost people. And when we pray for our church, we need to pray that the church would be more loving as an organization, as a whole. But that also means that you got to pray that God would make you a more loving person. And that's where the rubber meets the road. Again, I'm thankful that our church is also gaining the reputation of being a loving church. Somebody, one of our church members, shared with me recently a story about being out in the community and finding a person that was in need, and this member did everything they could to meet this need and try to love on this individual. And then, out of the blue, they said, "I just felt like I needed to give this person a hug." And the person began to cry and actually said, "I'm going to come to your church because I've been looking, get this, for a loving church." And that is what our church is actually doing. I pray for my church to grow in love. And lastly, I pray that my church is ready for Christ to return. Paul concludes by saying, "May he make your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints." Do y'all think Jesus is coming back soon? I tell you what, the more I turn on the news and the more I see things going on in our country and in our world, the more eager I am for the King to come. While the church is supposed to do a lot of things, we're supposed to love people and go on missions and make disciples and do all this stuff, gather for worship, we are supposed to also pursue holiness as a group of people. We're supposed to really become more like Christ. And we talk about this a lot, but Paul reminds the church that they're to be found holy and blameless and faithful when Christ returns, because in the first century they expected that Christ could and would return at any moment. Now we need to live with that same kind of urgency, because we're a lot closer to Jesus coming back than they were 2,000 years ago. Paul goes on to write in his letter that one day, he's telling the church in Thessalonica, he says, one day Christ is coming back. And when Christ comes back, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And all of those who remain will be caught up with them in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. But here's the thing, church. When Christ Jesus returns, he wants and he deserves a holy bride to welcome him. And so that means we need to do a couple of things. We need to first pray for the holiness of the church, which is bride to Christ. We need to pray for one another. We need to lift one another up and pray that God would help us all in this pursuit of holiness, as we might call it, in this pursuit of obedience. And secondly, we need to also pray and do our part to try and be holy. Now, you don't hear a lot of people talking about this today, unfortunately. But Christians are to be different than the rest of the world. People who claim to be a follower of Jesus should be a little bit different, should be set apart, which is what holy actually means, than the rest of the world. And so the way that I look at that is, and Jerry Bridges, who wrote a wonderful book called The Pursuit of Holiness, he describes it this way. It's kind of like a farmer. Now, I can wrap my mind around this a little bit. Matter of fact, yesterday, me and Easton were out for quite a while, weren't we, buddy? Man, we were tilling some ground, and we were hoeing some weeds, and we were sowing some seeds, and we worked like dogs. I mean, I'm glad this boy is finally getting big enough that he can actually help his daddy do some real work, because I'm taking advantage of it. But Jerry Bridges describes how every farmer understands the basic concepts of growing a crop, right? You have to prepare the ground, you have to plow it, you have to get it ready for the seed, then you have to sow the seed, and as it comes up, you have to fertilize it, you have to cultivate it, you have to tend to it. But he points out that the farmer has no power to make the seed germinate. The farmer can't make the sun shine or the rain fall. Ultimately, the farmer can do his part and simply trust in God to do the rest. The farmer cannot do what God must do, and God will not do what the farmer should do. And so like farming is a joint venture really between God and man that we tend to have a lot of fun with. Pursuing holiness, sanctification, is a joint venture between God and man. God will equip us. He will give us the Holy Spirit, and we can pray for one another, and God will help us. He makes it possible for us to walk in holiness, but He gives us the responsibility of doing the walking. Just like Paul and those Thessalonians believed, again, I truly believe, church, that Christ, you know, He may come today. I don't know. I really believe He could come at any time. And when He comes, Tyler Shields wants to be ready. I want FBC Barberville to be ready. I don't want us to, when we see Him in the air, run and hide because we're ashamed. I want us to be ready to meet Jesus face to face. And so we need to pray. We need to pray that when He comes, we're found faithful, which means that if the church is found faithful, we need to pray, God, make my heart ready. Let me as an individual be found holy whenever You come back. So this morning, if you haven't been walking the walk like you know you should, I would encourage you to spend a little time with the Lord in prayer, sorting things out this morning and getting that right. Also, if you've had a hard time, let's go back a couple points. If you are a Christian and you've had a hard time loving people, you need to pray that God would soften your heart and help you love people like Jesus. Because a true mark of a follower of Jesus is that they love people. Also, if you haven't been as involved in your church like you know that you should, I would encourage you to pray about that this morning. And then take the extra step of talking to that Next Steps team about how you can get plugged in and begin to serve Christ Church. Let's stand together as we pray. Heavenly Father, again, I am so grateful. And I'm thankful for this church. God, it was this church that gave just a young boy the opportunity to preach his first sermon. Many years later, they gave him the opportunity to be their pastor. And God, for that, I'm so grateful. And God, I pray for our church. God, I pray that we would love one another as Jesus has loved us. And God, I pray that we would not only love one another, but we would love those outside of this church who still need Jesus. And God, if that's someone here this morning or is someone watching online, God, I pray that this morning, today, that they realize they're lost, that they're not part of the church, and ultimately that they're not going to heaven. And God, I pray that You would give them saving faith this morning, and they would be saved. Lord, I pray that You will continue to equip our church. God, I pray that You not only grow us in number, but grow us in love. God, grow our kingdom impact here at FBC. And Lord Jesus, we pray that You'd come quickly. And when You do, let us be found faithful. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, if the Lord has spoken to your heart and there's a decision that you need to make, we just invite you to come and let us pray with you this morning and talk through that. If you want to come and pray, maybe there are those lost people in your life that you want to continue to pray for, we invite you to come as we sing this song of invitation.
Thanks for listening to the Weekly Sermon Podcast. Please subscribe, but also join us live in person on the Court Square in Barberville, or find us on YouTube by searching FBC Barberville, on Instagram at @First_Baptist_Barberville, on Twitter at @BarbervilleFBC, or on our Facebook page, First Baptist Barberville.